Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. The Lord reigns. Let them praise God's holy name. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples rejoice in awe and wonder. The Lord reigns. Let them shout in exultation.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise.
Teach me some melodious song that sung by flaming tongues above.
Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at.
Our affirmation of faith. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the 34th chapter of Exodus, verses 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord.
Glorify Christ Jesus, the King.
Our scripture text this morning comes from the 9th chapter of Luke, verses 28 through 43. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. 2 men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the 2 men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. A spirit seizes him. He suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. This is the word of God given to us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Someone once told a story about her great-great-uncle who lived to the ripe old age of 106. He was healthy and spry and took joy in chauffeuring his less able-bodied senior friends around town. On his 100th birthday, his driver's license came up for renewal. When he went to the DMV, the skeptical clerk said, "You're 100 years old. What do you need a driver's license for?" And her uncle, completely unfazed, replied, "Somebody has got to drive the old folks around town." He continued to have a legal driver's license for the next 5 years. We find humor a bit in this story when an older person calls his peers old folks. Another thing that we find in the story is what seems to be the story of a man who never quits serving others. Someone reminds us of our marching orders as Christians. Christianity is a come and go affair. We come up to the mountain, but we must go back down again. We come to worship, but we must go to serve. We enter church on Sunday morning to worship, and we're supposed to depart to serve. We live in a world where people would rather enjoy the leisure of some things instead of the necessity and the mandate to labor for other things. In God's kingdom here on earth, we are called to labor in loving service to make a difference. We're called to share in Jesus' ministry by preaching the good news to the poor, the prisoners, the oppressed, not just with our lips, but also by the way that we live. Who does not like to go on top of the world? We're talking about the mountaintop here. We all have ambition that drives us to do our best and be our best. When I was a kid, we used to play a game called the King of the Mountain. We usually played the game on some sort of small hill, and it's not hard to find in the Pea Ridge area, is it? The object was this. Whenever you get up to the top of the mountain, the small hill, you would push away all those who were seeking to become the next king of the hill. Consider ambition and its negative side. The Living Bible paraphrases Proverbs 27:20 like this: "Ambition and death are alike in this. Neither is ever satisfied." The New International Version translates Proverbs 27:20 as this: "Death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are the eyes of man." King James says, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." Summing up the meaning of Proverbs 27:20 from the different versions of the Bible that I've just read, we can conclude that ambition and the unsatisfied eyes compare with hell and destruction. The point is that we spend money for things that are not bread and labor for things that do not satisfy. especially when we choose other than God's way to be filled and satisfied. How does the ambition to get on top of the mountain compare to our calling? It seems that Jesus calls us all to go to the top of the mountain and worship and seek God's guidance to God's will. One of the purposes of prayer is to seek God's guidance. We seek to do God's will through obedience. We have to remember that those three disciples were instructed by God in appearance of the enveloping cloud to listen to Jesus. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I've chosen. Listen to him." Listening to Jesus means that we take up crosses and we follow Jesus by denying ourselves through loving service to others. Listening to Jesus also means that we invest our time, our talents, and our gifts, remembering that we must never quit because Jesus' love, it never ends. Listening to Jesus also means that the harvest is plentiful while the laborers are few, which is why we must pray for more laborers as well as work compassionately and diligently to make disciples. Are we sleeping on the job? These three disciples were found to be sleeping on the job. Jesus took them up onto the mountain to pray. The King James Version says that the disciples had heavy eyes, which obviously seems to be a metaphor for sleepiness leading to sleep. This is not the first time that the disciples fell asleep. These same three also fell asleep when Jesus asked them to watch and pray while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It should also be pointed out how others often compare with the disciples. The same word is used of the eyes of these three disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26:43 and of the hearts of many in Luke 21:34. Probably none of us like to talk about how we have sometimes been sleeping when Jesus had a job for us to do, whether it was to watch and pray or to be in service in one way or the other. Why is it that we fall asleep today? Do we fall asleep because the workers are dreaming as opposed to dreamers working? Do we fall asleep because of our indifference or our prejudice? Do we fall asleep because we're too busy? We fall asleep because we make excuses. It seems that we are a lot more like those disciples than we would like to admit. Have you ever wanted to make time stand still? In this transfiguration story, Peter wanted to freeze time. He didn't want the moment to end. In our own culture, there's a world-famous amusement park out in Anaheim, California. It bears a sign upholding the slogan, "Disneyland, the happiest place on earth." This is the kind of place that kids do not want to leave once they get there. Being on top of that mountain when Jesus was transfigured was far better than being in Disneyland. Why? History was being made, and these three disciples were only catching a glimpse of it. What was the connection with Moses, Elijah, and Jesus? All of them were deliverers. Through the leadership of Moses, slaves were set free. Through the leadership of Elijah, God kept 7,000 people from worshiping Baal. Through Jesus Christ, God would deliver humanity from the bondage of sin, death, and the fear of death. Both Elijah and Moses had their moments when they wanted to quit. It's been suggested that their presence there on the mountain, it did two things. First, it revealed Jesus in his original heavenly glory, clarifying that he is God's only begotten Son to his disciples. And secondly, Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah concerning their challenges and victorious departures as he was soon to head to Jerusalem, where he would begin to suffer before his own departure. It would not be until after his resurrection that these three disciples would later understand what this experience would truly mean. More and more, with the passing of time, they would begin to realize that freezing time was not the purpose of the trip up the mountain. One thing that they would always remember was that voice, God's own voice that came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Now, how well do we obey and listen to Him today. We also, when we talk about the mountain, we must also talk about the valley. And what is the importance of this mountaintop experience that we're called to share in the valley? We're called to reveal Jesus' identity by who we are as His disciples. We're called to do ministry in His name. We're not doing it in our own name. We're doing it in Jesus' name. We're called to follow in the humble example of His footsteps. We're called to come down from the mountain and take part in the mission. We're called to reflect Jesus. There's the story of a boy who attended a church that had beautiful stained glass windows like we have here. When asked the meaning of the word saint, he said, "They are people that light shines through." How well do we reflect Jesus Christ in our loving service, our gifts, and our talents? I asked if you were sleeping on the mountain. Also need to ask, are we sleeping in the valley as well? Friends, there is no time for sleeping. Don't we as Jesus' disciples have promises to keep? The words of the American poet Robert Frost said, "The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep." It comes from stopping by woods on a snowy evening, if you weren't aware of that. What did Jesus encounter when He came down from the mountain? When Jesus came down from the mountain, He encountered a crisis and a competition. How well do we keep those promises when we fail to tend to the needs of those who are in crisis in a valley, those people who need help? How well do we keep those promises when we worry about how we compare with the greatness of others? E. Stanley Jones once said, "We grow small trying to be great." Marcus Aurelius once said, "A man's worth is no greater than the worth of his ambitions." As we think about our promise that we as disciples must keep, let us keep in mind how we will get evaluated. Scottish theologian Hugh Black put it this way, "At the end of life, we shall not be asked how much pleasure we had in it, but how much service we gave in it. Not how full it was of success, but how full it was of sacrifice. Not how happy we were. Not how ambition was gratified, but how love served." We have to remember something very important. If you are a Christian, remember that men judge your Lord by you. As mentioned before, we enter church on Sunday morning to worship. We're supposed to depart to serve. Let us serve Him and serve Him well, bringing glory to His name through undying love and our never-ending service. Won't you pray with me this morning? God of light, Your Son was a perfect example of how to live as Christians here on earth. Thank You for His life and purpose. Lord, whilst Your Son was praying, the appearance of His face became different and His clothing became white and gleaming. I thank You for this account of the manifestation of Your power, because this example of Your power gives us hope as we too hold this power within us. Change us, Father. Use us. Use us for Christ's purpose. We pray these things as Jesus taught His disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. And turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. And turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.